Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Future Melbourne Committee, meeting number 42. On Tuesday, the 18th of September 2018, I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that this meeting is being streamed live on the City of Melbourne's website. An audio and video recording will also be published on the Council's website by close of business tomorrow. Now, whilst we try to avoid filming members of the public who attend or present at this meeting, there is a possibility that your image may be inadvertently captured in the live stream and the video recording. So we are alerting you to that possibility now. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of our council business team after the meeting. I request that all mobile phones be turned to silent or turned off for the duration of this meeting. Good for me to check that I have done that, and I have. Thank you. Now, the agenda tonight comprises seven reports from management, two of which are confidential. I'd also like to note that apologies have been received tonight from Councillors Louis, Councillor Oak and Councillor Pinder. I advise members of this committee and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour of it, the decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. Item two is disclosure of conflicts of interest. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by committee, please disclose the nature and type of the conflict prior to the consideration of that item. Thank you. Item three, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 41 held on Tuesday, the 4th of September 2018. Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Wood, thank you very much. I call on a councillor to second that motion. Councillor Riley, thank you. I now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hands. Noting that is unanimous, so I can declare that motion carried. Thank you. Item four matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting. I'm asking councillors, are there any matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting that they'd like to raise at this time? No? Thank you. The following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code. In relation to Agenda Item 6.1, Planning Permit Application TP-2018-342, which is 1-7 Bromby Street, South Yarra, (Melbourne Grammar School Music Centre, There's a request to speak from Judith Nicholson from Nicholson Planning. And an item of correspondence was also received from Judith Nicholson of Nicholson Planning. In relation to Agenda Item 6.2, Ministerial Planning Referral, TPM-2018-19-86-108, Laurens Street, North Melbourne, we received an item of correspondence from Liam Riordan from Tract Consultants. In relation to Agenda Item 6.4, Ministerial Planning Referral, TPMR-2018-10, 309 to 325 Bourke Street, Melbourne, open bracket, the Walk Arcade, close bracket. We have requests to speak from Simon Martin, Fulcrum Planning, and Tristan Davies from Melbourne Heritage Action. We received items of correspondence from Simon Martin at Fulcrum Planning, Tristan Davies of Melbourne Heritage Action, Max Denton and Carolyn Ebden. In relation to agenda item 6.5, a new park for Market Street, open bracket, Collins Arch, 447 Collins Street, close bracket, we have a request to speak from Claire Martin from Oculus, and we had items of correspondence from Pam Harris, Nicholas Dow, Ricky Andrews, Gemma Gooding, Max Denton, and Claire Martin from Oculus. I advise submitters that you will be invited to address the committee at the time that relevant agenda item is being considered. You will have 3 minutes to address the committee, and it is the intention of the committee to adhere to that time limit. So to assist you, we have this very helpful time counter on the wall that's set to 3 minutes, that starts counting down as soon as you start speaking, and beeps sound when 2 minutes have passed to let you know you have 1 minute left, and then beep sound again at 1 minute, at which time, if you are still speaking, I will respectfully ask you to stop speaking. Those are the rules of our procedures this evening in relation to the submissions, and apart from all of that, we're really looking forward to hearing from you. Public questions is item five. And in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code, a 15-minute period is provided at the beginning and at the end of this meeting for members of the public to ask questions. Questions must be questions and not submissions cloaked as questions, and the questions must be no more than 90 seconds in duration, and we would ask you to give your name at the time of asking the question. And just a reminder that if you do have a submission, that you have an opportunity to make that submission as we come to the relevant item. So I'm inviting at this point questions from the public, this being the open time at the beginning of our meeting for questions. If you could please raise your hand if you have a question. Good. All right. Thank you. Maybe at the end of the meeting, we'll see how we go. That leaves us to move to item six, which is reports from management. And at this point, I am noting that we have two confidential items, and I'm asking councillors whether any of you wish to discuss the confidential status of items 6.6 and 6.7. No? Okay. Thank you for that. I can now move to asking Councillor Rees to assume the role of chair to consider those items that are in relation to the planning general portfolio. Councillor Rees.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. We have no fewer than four reports from management for consideration under the planning portfolio this evening. The first of those is agenda item 6.1, planning permit application TP 2018-342 for the property 1 to 7 Bromby Street, South Yarra, which is the Melbourne Grammar School Music Centre. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? Take that as a no. So I will now call on Judith Nicholson from Nicholson Planning, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter. Welcome to Town Hall, Judith. Please speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you, Council. Councillors, my client, Melbourne Grammar School, as you appreciate, has a very significant cultural heritage asset of which it is the custodian. In its capacity as a custodian of the heritage asset, the school and its architect, award-winning Peter Elliott Architecture and Urban Design, has worked very closely with Council's heritage advisors to ensure that we developed an excellent design solution for a very sensitive and a very modest infill design solution on this site. We would urge you to support your officer's recommendation to support the grant of a notice of decision to approve the proposal. We're happy with all of the conditions that have been proposed by the council officers. We've worked with the sole objector, who is the neighbour, to deal with acoustic issues. As a music centre, I'm sure you'd appreciate the school had very sound advice to deal with the heritage matters and to ensure that the acoustic performance, both internally and externally, was of a calibre to be expected of a facility of this standard. So we would urge you to support your officer's recommendation to support our application. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith. Any questions for our submitter? No, in that case, I'm very happy to put the recommendation, which you can all see, up on the screen, and I call for a councillor to second that motion. Thank you very much, Councillor Leppard. I'll now speak briefly to this matter. Look, this matter is before us because it does involve the partial demolition of a heritage grade building, and as we've heard from Judith, it's for the Melbourne Grammar School of Music, and the architect is Peter Elliott Architecture. The site is located in Special Use Zone Schedule 3 with the Heritage Overlay Schedule 6 over it and the DDO Schedule 15A2. As a flag, the key issue here is around the demolition of a B-graded building. It is, you know, a quite an old building. The original building itself dates back to 1865. There was a second story and additions that were made in 1881, and the back section was added during the interwar period. The section we're talking about here for demolition mostly affects the part built during the interwar period, but some of the fabric from the 18th century building is demolished as well. But very importantly, the significant character and appearance of the building will be maintained, particularly when viewed from Bromby Street. Judith, I think you were completely right when you said Peter Elliott Architects have done a very good job on this project. The single-storey extension is modest in its scale, and it does sit comfortably between the adjoining buildings, and I'm a very big fan of hit-and-miss brickwork. I'd love to see more of that sort of highly textured brickwork around the city. Bring it back, I say. Look, it's been flagged we've received one objection, but should be noted that this area is zoned education, and so music and associated noise is something that would be permitted. But notwithstanding that, the applicant has gone to great lengths to work with the objector. You've engaged sound engineers to ensure, and the design ensures that the sound is minimal. So all things considered, I'm very happy to put the recommendation up on the screen. Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Chair. I agree, and add my thanks to Peter and Judith and to Melbourne Grammar School. The extent of demolition of the heritage building is something that's supported more than we might normally see from our internal heritage advisors, and it's testament to the strength of the designs that the infill, that demolition replaced with some very sensitive and very well thought through infill development is so strongly supported, so I think this is a great development.
Councillor Leppard, are there any speakers against the recommendation on the screen? Are there any further speakers for the recommendation on the screen? Okay, in that case, I'll put the matter to a vote. All those in favour, raise your hand.
Did one of you go first?
I declare that carried unanimously. Thank you all for your support. We move on to the next agenda item now, agenda item 6.2, which is a ministerial planning referral, TPM 2018-9, for the property 86 to 108 Lawrence Street, North Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Taking that as a no, and we have no submitters on that item, so I am happy to put the to move the recommendation that is now on the screen. I won't read that out because I know you all can read. And I'm looking for a councillor to second that motion. Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. And I will speak briefly to it. This is a 15-storey development that's for a mixed-use purposes, mostly office. It is proposed to be constructed in an area which is Industrial Zone 1, and it's affected by parking overlay Schedule 12. I think the concerns which are raised in the officer's report, which are shared by me as the mover, essentially go to the height and scale of the development, which is at odds with the existing built form and therefore does not comply with the guidelines and controls for this area. It is obviously anticipated that the Arden structure plan will provide guidance for additional building height in this area, and I think it's widely agreed that the structure plan will also provide some further guidance on floor area ratios and hopefully say something strong on development contributions as well. The application does make reference to some artist sketches of a future Arden precinct, and I think it has to be said that a few artist sketches do not make for a precinct structure plan. And so as a city, we do not want to make the same mistakes which have been made in the past. And here I will refer specifically to Fisherman's Bend, where a former planning minister rezoned Fisherman's Bend and then made a string of approvals for tall towers without proper controls being in place, without guidance around floor area ratios, without there were proper guidance around floor area ratios, and without any guidance or rules in place around developer contributions or infrastructure contributions. And the City of Melbourne and the State Government is having a devil of a time, it must be said, now trying to put in place proper arrangements for that part of our city. So we didn't want to make those mistakes again. On the issue of height, I do want to make the observation that the historic Western Milling silos are just to the south of this site on Lawrence Street, and in my humble opinion, as just one councillor, I think those mills rise to a height of 60 metres, and it would be nice to see those mills, given their heritage given the heritage and history of them, remain a feature of the skyline in that part of the city, and that the height through there is reflective. The height controls through there is reflective of that. So, in conclusion, it would be premature of us tonight to be considering applications like the one before us. That said, I do think it is incumbent on the City of Melbourne and the VPA to work as quickly as possible to getting that structure plan in place. The Arden Urban Renewal Precinct, I think, is one of the most exciting urban development projects in Melbourne, in Greater Melbourne, and frankly anywhere in Australia, and so it is so important that we get it right, and I would ask the applicants in this particular case to stick with it. We do want to work with you, we do want to see something happen on this site, but we need to get appropriate controls in place first. Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Chair. I agree. It's interesting that the applicant isn't here to speak to the proposal. I think it might be accepted that this is quite early in the stage of Arden to be putting forward such a very large proposal such as this one, and not quite like Fisherman's Bend, because we haven't seen the rezoning without any complementary built form controls yet. The only reason we are considering this here is because it's not technically prohibited in the scheme that you can have a 100% non-industrial proposal in an industrial zone. You still need a permit. But given how premature we are down the road of Arden vision and a framework, and there's no structure plan yet, as you've said, Chair, let alone any changes to the land use or built form controls. It is very clear that we are too early in the stages to be considering this sort of application. If the vague and very high-level descriptions in the Arden vision, which was released just a few weeks ago, were to be taken at their most literal and careful interpretation, then you couldn't even find support for this level of height, I don't think, because the Lawrence sub-precinct seems to encourage a scale of height away from central Arden around the station and back towards the established areas of North Melbourne in particular, and, of course, on the other side of Lawrence and further across along Dryburgh Street, you do very quickly fall back into that 3- and 4-storey character. And so I think that even if the Arden vision did apply, which we need to be very, very clear, it doesn't yet, that it probably still wouldn't support it. So I agree with you as well that we need to, the government, and that's the state government's taking the lead, but we'll be doing everything we can to cooperate fully, needs to get its skates on to keep the strategic planning of the area happening as comprehensively and quickly as it can, because it is an area that needs to be planned properly for the tens of thousands of new residents and workers who are going to be coming into the area as the new station comes on board. But at this stage, we're just a little bit premature. All of that said, there's quite a few interesting and innovative things about this proposal that I think will make for interesting components of a future proposal when it's appropriate that it be made. But at this time, we do need to be very, very firm that whatever the merits of the proposal might be, such a large proposal which has no industrial in it and does not have any other strategic justification for it, because the Arden vision isn't a structure plan, isn't a planning scheme amendment, isn't any sort of seriously entertained change to the scheme, we just can't support it at this time. So I do agree with you.
Thank you, Councillor Lippert. Are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any further speakers for the motion? Then, as the mover of the motion, I will now put the motion. All those in support, please raise your hands. I declare that carried unanimously. The next agenda item is item 6.3, which is also a ministerial planning referral. It's for TPM 2015-28 for the property 293 to 297 City Road, South Bank. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Taking that as a no, and I am happy to move the recommendation, which, yes, is up there on the screen, and I am calling for a councillor to second that motion. Thank you, Councillor Lippert. I will speak briefly to this matter. This is a 38-level mixed-use development, predominantly residential. It does fall within the capital city zone, and as we see from listing number, it was submitted back in 2015 under the old rules pre-C262. And so I should from the outset commend City of Melbourne officers who I think have worked very well with the developer to get a good outcome all round on this site. In terms of some of the positive features, I think it has to be said that this is an unusual shaped block, bordering as it does Hancock Street and City Road, but I think the architects have done well to come up with a design that works in the round, which it looks good from all sides, and it doesn't have that god-awful thing that we see sometimes where you have a complete side of a building that is precast concrete and really offers nothing to the local area. But this is a building that works from all sides. I also think that the finish and detail on the podium is commendable, certainly much better than some of the buildings we have seen in the immediate vicinity. The retail activation on Hancock Street is good. That will provide some good retail for that part of the city and activate the street, which is so important. And I also like the fact that they've managed to locate the substation internally in the overall development at the end of a laneway, and it's not facing out on the street. And we've talked at length in this chamber room before about what excessive services on at a street level is doing to this city. So good to see some good design here, and that substation pushed away from the street down at the end of the laneway. There are some conditions attached with the recommendation. Particularly, we believe that the layout for levels 17 to 31 should be the same as levels 13 to 16, I believe it is, and that's because we don't want any apartment to have an outlook on another property from a primary living area. So with those conditions listed in the conditions outlined in the delegate's report, I'm very happy with the recommendation on the screen. Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Chair. I agree again. It could be the best designed building in the world, but would still be on a really, really challenging block where so many planning sins have been committed over the last 10 years in particular, whether it's the complete overwhelming of the heritage buildings on the corner or the very haphazard approach to podium and tower height and setbacks, let alone, as I think you mentioned, the approaches to ground floor activation and the lack of really careful thinking from some of the other applicants over the years to how all parts of that block need to integrate with the public realm. It is a really, really challenging part of South Bank. The fact is, you've said that this application was made before C262, C270, that the whip hand really isn't given to government to compel some more significant changes here. If the application was made more recently, we would have more of those negotiating skills, and I wish that we did on this occasion, but it certainly does comply because of the timing that that the application was made. I just note that this block is a good example of why central city design principles need to be lifted across the board. And so that we can see a very well-designed city in the future, of which I think this block is not one.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any further speakers for the motion? Councillor Francis Gilly, then we'll come to you, Councillor Lippitt.
Only briefly...
Beat you by a millisecond there.
Only briefly just to say, you know, you could say this every single time, but thanks, staff. The delegate reports are always really, really clear. As a completely non-professional person, you know, you kind of get to understand what the issues are. So just thank you very much for, you know, every time making it clear and easy to assess.
Thank you, Councillor Francis Gilly. Councillor Watts.
Just a comment to say how pleasing it is to see 10% of the building being three-bedroom apartments. I do like more accommodation in these apartments. We want to attract families all over our city. And, of course, the two-bedroom, it's 64%, so all good.
OK, thank you very much for that, Councillor Watts. Any other speakers for or against? In that case, I will put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hands. I declare that carried unanimously. The fourth and final agenda item for the planning portfolio this evening is for another ministerial planning referral, TPMR 2018-10 for 309 to 325 Bourke Street, Melbourne, known as the Walk Arcade. And it's fair to say this application has attracted quite a bit of community interest. And so I might take the liberty of requesting senior statutory planner Evan Council, practice leader, land use and development, to make a brief presentation to us.
Thank you, Chair. And good evening, Lord Mayor, councillors and members of the public. As Councillor Rees has identified, this is a ministerial planning application for a part of the city that is an entire block that we're recognising as the Walk Arcade. It has been referred to the City of Melbourne by the Minister for Planning, and the City of Melbourne is a recommending referral authority for this application. You can see where the property is located on the screen there, being bounded by Bourke Street Mall, Little Collins Street to the south, and also the Causeway and Union Lane either side, and significantly the Walk Arcade traverses through the centre of the site. The block is made up of a collection of 8 buildings. On the screen there, if you're particularly astute, you might notice there's only 7, but there's also a single-storey building there in grey at the bottom of the screen. On the screen here is images of the building as viewed from Bourke Street. You can see within the red area there, the subject buildings, and that's from within the Bourke Street Mall. From Little Collins Street, significantly on the corner there, is the Book Building, which is proposed to be demolished as part of the application, and also Union Lane, which is proposed to be significantly altered with the removal of the entire facade along the western side of Union Lane and a widening of that laneway also being proposed. The images on the screen show the retained building fabric in light blue. That includes the front facades of some of the heritage buildings, as well as the return walls of some of the heritage buildings down the laneways, as you can see on the screen there. Most significantly, the ground floor plans are shown on the screen, including the original ground floor plan that was submitted with the application at the bottom there, which notably doesn't include a complete north-south through-block link within the site. It was probably the most primary point of discussion through the application process between DELP council officers and the applicant. The applicant has recently tabled the plan at the top of the screen there, which does include a north-south through-block link and poses a significantly positive step in terms of the progression of the application. One of the significant issues raised by officers through this application is the potential impacts of servicing and truck movements within Union Lane to service the development, which could be up to 43 truck movements per day within Union Lane, which would be 5 truck movements an hour, or sorry, 5 trucks per hour or 10 movements per hour, being a truck entering the laneway from Little Collins Street, and then reversing into the arcade and then back out through the arcade. That is a significantly high volume to service the some 443 hotel units, as well as the retail proposed at basement, ground floor and first floor levels, and could also be impeded and is a significant concern due to the potential inclusion of security measures in the Bourke Street Mall, which would restrict access, as well as the fact that Little Collins Street is closed between 12 and 2 during lunchtime hours to vehicles on weekdays. On the screen is a typical upper floor level, notably that there are 2 voids. There's a void above the courtyard and a void above the kitchen area also proposed through those levels. On the screen is a 3D image. This is the Little Collins and Union Lane elevation. It also indicates proposed materiality, which is a mixture of predominantly precast concrete above the bottom levels, but notably there is proposed to be use of reclaimed brick in the ground levels and also a mixture of glass as well as a mirrored finish through some parts of that ground level plane. Again, on the screen is the building from Bourke Street and the Causeway, similar materiality. This is a perspective of Little Collins Street and Union Lane corner. On the left-hand side of the screen is the original submission with the application. It was discussed in detail. As has been identified, there are some conflicting ambitions in terms of urban design outcomes and what replacement buildings will present to the street, as well as accommodating waste and loading facilities on the site. That friction comes between aspirations to not have a large loading dock fronting Little Collins Street or primary streets, which leaves Union Lane as the logical access. The reason the building you see on the screen is designed in the way it is predominantly to accommodate turning circles of the trucks in and out of Union Lane. This is a design challenge. We have been discussing with the applicant, and we continue to have discussions to try and reach an appropriate design resolution. The image on the right-hand side of the screen is where those discussions were at the time of writing the report, and they are expected to continue after this meeting. Finally, this is a perspective 3D render of the Bourke Street Mall of the finished product. And finally, I'll just note that after checking in with the department today, the department's indicated that the minister has received a total of 24 objections to the application, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Evan. Any questions for Evan on this matter? All right. Thank you very much for that presentation. I now call on Simon Martin from Fulcrum Planning, who requested the... Larry, welcome, Larry. Not sure if you've been here before, but you've got 3 minutes. Clock and a buzzer.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Council,
welcome.
Councillors and Lord Mayor.
Larry, could you just say your full name and organisation?
Okay. Larry Parsons from Ethos Urban.
Ethos,
ETHOS.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay, so just to make perfectly clear that the applicant is a long-term owner since 1994. They realise, as council does, that this is a really key site which needs an upgrading, and I think we're all on the same page in wanting to achieve that outcome. The applicant has spent nearly 2 years at the moment talking to the authorities along that lines. We recognise that it's going to be a substantial uplift for the mall to have this frontage redeveloped, as well as the pedestrian linking through to the south and to St Collins Lane. We also believe that the actual heritage structures which have been derelict for perhaps 50 years and are of no internal interest, according to the heritage reports we have, will now become reactivated, because there will actually be a hotel room directly behind each of the windows in the retained facades. The only heritage facade which is being demolished, as Evan has stated, is the book building, and that is the one we considered, or our heritage advisor considered, as of least significance. It's been substantially altered, and it is the obvious place to get access to actually build the development. Without proper access, the whole project falls over. So apart from the upper levels meeting the activation with the hotel, the ground level will be completely reworked. It was basically gutted in the 80s. So what you see is it reads as a shopping mall, and we believe that what we're putting back is actually improving that and reinstating to a large extent, and with the work we're doing with Council and DELP, the idea of different buildings. And there's further work going on, as Evan stated. And the actual shop fronts, there's been detailed work done as well to make those more respectful of the buildings above. So the work continues. We've been submitting stuff up till yesterday. Yesterday there was a lot of work about traffic and waste, which is basically clarifying that there are not expected to be 43 trucks a day, but more like 22 or 24. They've done a comparison with the existing retail that's there now, and the smaller developments don't use Union Lane, don't need to go on site. They can do it briefly from Little Collins Street. It's also very clear from an urban design point of view, and many people in council do not want a large loading bay and turning circle. So we are just asking that to continue on, we need an approval, and we realise that the state government is going into a hiatus period, and we are continuing to work, and we'll work through the details, but we're seeking confidence to do that.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Are there any questions for Larry Parsons? Councillor Watts?
This is strictly not about planning, so forgive me or indulge me in this. Has any consideration been given to changing the name of the walk from the walk to something a little more...
There has been discussion of reinstating the Coles Lane, the Coles Place name, because the first half of what we're building was actually the Coles Place. So it's being reinstated and extended through to Bourke Street. And it would be good to actually do something with the kiosk, which is at the end of that on Bourke Street Mall, so that there is visibility and access for that lane.
I do recall Coles.
Thank you. Lord Mayor?
Larry, I'm just noting from a letter received from Fulcrum yesterday that there's a whole paragraph saying that, as is often the case for developments of this size and significance, we recognise that there are aspects of the project that require further refinement in order to ensure the balance between what the developer is trying to achieve and what's good for the city as a whole. and some of the tensions that are existing between activating ground floor levels as well as the waste management issue that you just touched on, and a desire for there to be further discussions to progress towards that mutually agreeable outcome, I guess. Are you able to comment on where that's at? I note at the end of your submission you said you wanted the approval to be able to keep going. You can see the proposed motion this
evening. Yes. With all developments of this complexity, the dialogue really doesn't stop until the day it's built. And you're even getting changes during the construction process with modifications. It's very complex. So there comes a point where someone makes a decision to give the permit, and there will be certain conditions and certain things which will continue to be discussed. And that's normal. And it's a way to give confidence to, number one, the hotel operator, and number two, the developer himself, to continue.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Larry. I think, you know, one of the biggest issues that's been identified, and you know, should note that our officers have done a lot of work on this, but there's overall support for this application. I think that's important to note. But the waste management issue is a critical one, and sort of whether it's over 40 truck movements or 22, have you given any consideration to really trying to use, I guess, the sort of constriction on this in the central city to drive innovation and really saying, can we deliver a zero waste development here that's extremely innovative? Because, you know, trucks coming in, picking up waste and moving out, it's a system that's been around for hundreds of years. So have you given any consideration to really using perhaps this impost to drive something quite spectacular in terms of waste management?
Yes, definitely. And there have been quite considerable discussions with the Intercontinental Group about all of their processes. And that's just one of the many things that will be worked through in more detail with them. But it is on their agenda. And it's fair to say that there was further information supplied yesterday about the waste management, which now puts it at probably two trucks a day. And I understand that the waste people have received that and in principle agree.
Councillor Leppett? Oh, okay. Councillor Francis Gilley?
I think in some ways it's the same question, but it's about the sort of general number of trucks in Union Street. And if you've got that many trucks going up and down, you've only got one area to pull off. Do you think it's how do you coordinate that many vehicles that often? Because, you know, 10 minutes to unload, does that mean you've got three other vehicles backed up in Union Lane, which actually means you lose the lane effectively as a place to walk or drive a bicycle through? Okay. It's not that you can't get in there and get out the way. It's that with that much, you're going to have vehicles backed up down the street waiting to be able to turn in and come back out again. And that would significantly change the feel of walking through the city.
There's two points to that. First of all, there will be a site manager who will be actually coordinating the deliveries. And we're actually lucky to have the hotel as being the major user. And it's in their interest to have that well coordinated. And the technological systems are getting much more sophisticated. You have your time slot and you arrive in that time slot. The second point is that it's all designed in the management plan to happen between midnight and 7:30 a.m. So it isn't a time when we should be conflicting with pedestrians.
Larry, you're one of the leading planners in the state. You know that the city has a strong preference for through block links to promote pedestrian movement through the city. On page 138 of the delegate's report, there's a copy of a alternative ground floor layout which the applicant team prepared. But when you look at the architectural drawings that were formally submitted as part of the application, there is in fact no through block link, and priority has been given to a larger retail presence facing onto the Bourke Street Mall, thereby blocking the link. So, I mean, you talk about planning and this application being an iterative process. To help sort of move things along, why wasn't the application amended to put in that through BlockLink, which you know the City of Melbourne would welcome?
It's basically a timing matter. The applicant has agreed entirely that they will do the Coles Place extension, and it will be a through BlockLink. It will be double height. It will have the skylights that Evan was referring to, and it will be activated on both sides. So the report by the council officers was done probably some weeks ago, and it's been more work done since then. But unfortunately, there hasn't been time for the architects to do all of the detailed elevations of that new link.
All right, thanks, Larry. Evan, Council, did you want to respond to one or two of the items that were raised here? Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Chair. I will just note that additional information has been received in the past few weeks, and as recently as yesterday, as Larry referred to. We are continuing to work with the applicant to try and resolve the issues. I think it's fair to say, like the discussion tonight, that the in-principle issue is really about that's causing the objection position rather than a support subject to conditions type of position that we see sometimes. Is the potential impact on Union Lane and its operation as a shared zone for pedestrians, cyclists and vehicles. The concern is that at the moment, unless we get the waste loading and vehicle movements to an acceptable threshold prior to approval, that it could have unacceptable impacts on that lane to a degree where, as has been stated, it would essentially not be somewhere where members of the public would go to because of how prominent the frequency of trucks being in that laneway is during the day and evening. As Larry pointed out, there has been information put to us yesterday that did propose to significantly reduce the number of trucks to around 20 to 22 trucks per day. Also proposed to restrict those to evening times and not during the day. It does rely on some loading for retail within the street and on preliminary within Little Collins predominantly. And in preliminary discussions with our traffic engineers and waste engineers, they don't believe that reliance is an acceptable outcome. And these are the types of things we feel we need to get right before we support the application. The other design matters could potentially be dealt with through conditions if that matter was resolved between the parties.
And Evan, I've got a further question. I think all councillors would welcome some investment in the walkway arcade and want to see that part of Melbourne come back to life in the way we know it can. There might be some councillors who, having heard this debate tonight, are wondering why not defer this matter. Why would you say it's preferable for councillors to agree to objecting to the matter, citing the reasons set out in the delegate report as compared to potentially deferring?
I would say that, as per my comments just previous, that to support the proposal outright subject to conditions would be for council to put forward a solution to the issues that I just walked through. It's a complex matter, and every solution comes with resultant impacts to the overall development in terms of design and functionality, and we need to work through those carefully. So I'd say that that's why it's an objection. The applicant has indicated that they need a position from council at this point in time. That's not to say that consultations can't continue, and if an acceptable solution was reached, they could work through that with the Minister's office and utilise the expertise of our traffic and waste engineers to inform the state as per standard process.
Thank you, Evan. Any further questions for Evan? Thank you very much for that. Very informative. Okay, on that basis, I am happy to move the motion. Oh, sorry, I apologise. We do have another speaker, Tristan Davies, who requested the right to speak. Tristan,
you just want to get home earlier. That's
please speak for no more than 3 minutes. You're very familiar with practice and procedure in this place. Welcome back to Town Hall.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord Mayor and councillors. I think it's important that you've called this development in and are still objecting to it for a number of reasons that have been discussed already. I don't really think it should be approved in its current form. There needs to be a lot more work done. While we understand the present scheme is a result of a lot of negotiation, some of it good, it still represents the bare minimum approach to heritage, we would say, and fundamentally misunderstands really what Melbourne is about in this block. The extent of demolition, we would say, is a bit unacceptable on multiple fronts and contrary to both the current heritage guidelines of the city and especially contrary to the future guidelines which are currently being put through the motions to be adopted. The proposal would see significant buildings on Bourke Street completely facaded, which is against council policy, with just single walls retained or at least a tiny bit of a front wall. But really, they need to be retained more in depth, we would think, despite a lack of internal interest. Also, we're seeing the complete demolition of two contributory buildings, most notably the book building. Well, it's running through. Get an idea of photos. Yeah, most notably the book building, which we do believe should be retained in some form as part, an important part of a streetscape. Significantly also, we'd like to bring attention to Union Lane, which is basically going to be essentially destroyed by this development. This is one of like the highlights of Melbourne, this graffiti laneway, which is home to a lot of artists and really has that essential Melbourne character. To see it essentially turn into a loading bay, which will be gentrified and there will be no artists in there anymore because of trucks, because of constant passive surveillance, I think that's something we need to be much more careful of with a development like this. As someone that works around tourism as well, I can tell you that people come to Melbourne to appreciate laneways like this and this street culture and things constantly changing and happening. They don't come to appreciate a loading bay with trucks and the occasional graffiti that's, you know, long past its use by date because no one is coming there anymore, either as pedestrians or as street artists. And I think that's something that's really not represented enough in this debate is that these areas are really important and it's really easy to stuff them up and never get them back again. So there needs to be a bit more thought about how more of Union Lane could be retained, if not entirely retained, and not to become a loading bay. So you can see previous scheme there, which we think was a little bit better in terms of heritage, though obviously it's an old scheme and needs to be worked back more. I would also say that with the Walk Arcade itself, of course, there's always room for improvements, but we do need to be careful to retain elements of the city that aren't just for rich people. We could have the entire CBD retail core just as a St. Collins Lane gentrified upmarket development. But, you know, there does seem to need to be some more room for different types of people, different types of developments and retail in the city too. So we do hope some of these heritage issues are reviewed more in depth and they really think about what it means to, you know, be part of, have an important cultural asset like this retained a bit better.
Thank you, Tristan. Informative as always. Any questions for Tristan Davies?
Hope not too many.
There is one. No, okay. Thank you very much,
thank
Tristan.
You.
All right. With all our presenters now complete, I am happy to put the move the motion that is up on the screen, and I look for a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Lippitt, and I will speak briefly to this item. Look, Melbourne has a $95 billion economy and retail makes up $5 billion of that, and Bourke Street Mall sits at the very heart of that economy and at the very heart of our city. And it has been that way ever since the very early colonial days of Melbourne town. The Walk Arcade itself is a sort of hallmark location in Bourke Street Mall, and certainly in the 80s it was, and before it was a hallmark location subject to jingles which have gone into pop culture and I've been reminded of in a somewhat uncomfortable way about over the last week, all of which means that this is a very, very important location. It's a very, very important redevelopment and it's therefore vitally important that as a city, we get it right, and as the custodians of the city, as councillors, we can only approve something which gets it right. And unfortunately, this application falls short on a number of scores. I guess the key issues which are identified in the delegate's report, which I agree with, is the extent of the demolition. The book building has been raised in particular, but I guess the broad principle here is that if a building is going to be demolished, then you want to see the replacement building be of a higher standard and add to the city compared to what is being demolished. and we're not convinced that that is occurring with the demolition works on this site. The design and built form of the replacement buildings do fall short on a number of counts, and we've heard a couple of examples of that this evening. The loss of the character of Union Lane with the new mirrors going up there are going to reflect the graffiti, or people take selfies while they're looking at graffiti, I'm not sure, but certainly it seems to be a loss, significant loss of character for that really important part of the city. And we heard a lot about the problems with vehicle servicing and waste removal, which I do think Larry went some way to reducing that problem, but still needs work. So for all of those reasons, I put the move the recommendation on the screen. Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Chair. I agree that when so much of the built form here is actually derelict above the ground floor, and there has been for a very long time, that any application of this size is going to be looked on favourably in terms of turning that land back into its highest and best use and reinvigorating the retail core there. But of course, at the same time, there are issues of heritage retention, urban design and public safety in particular, if you talk about the way Union Lane's been treated, that need to be properly grappled with. So I agree with your conclusion as well. We have to remember as well that we're not the final decision maker. We're a recommending referral authority. And if we want a decision before caretaker, then we shouldn't be deferring it now. We should be putting a position on the table to allow anyone on behalf of the City of Melbourne, particularly our traffic and engineering team, the ability to negotiate further improvements. I think everyone can hear that just because we're opposing it here doesn't necessarily mean that we're expecting the Minister to oppose the next iteration whenever that reaches his desk. And so we're being as pragmatic as we can about this, but we should, as recommending referral authority, maintain an objection, because we want to give rise to that prospect down the track that we could appeal a decision if we weren't happy with it, that we do need to see significant improvements still, and we don't want to just leave it to trust that issues around particularly Union Lane and the ingress and egress of the trucks, which is exactly on top of the arcade and a pedestrian throughway, can be dealt with. We'd want to make sure that our planners and our traffic engineers have had a look at what those solutions are before we'd give it our tick. And so we can't give it our tick now because we don't yet know what those are. So we need to trust that these future processes, which the applicant have said that they'll undergo, and I think there's an awful a lot of goodwill there that should be acknowledged, and I thank them for that, that there is a process still to go down the track there. The other reason we can't either approve it subject to conditions at the moment is that we don't have those conditions on us. I think conditions around a loading management plan, a traffic management plan, a waste management plan are all going to be really important. And before stock standard conditions around implementing those plans are put in place, you'd want the people, the experts and the professionals, to have a good solid negotiation with the applicants about what we mean when we say these plans. And so I do hope that the Minister is going to consider all of these issues very, very carefully, and that the next iterations of this application will be even more improvements on what we've seen before. Because let's acknowledge that compared to the original application that's been lodged, this application has come a very, very long way. We aren't just looking at a consolidated form which treats the heritage buildings as little bits of obstacles. I also agree, though, with the submission made that some of the facade treatments were in... I kind of prefer the original application to in a couple of them, especially on Bourke Street, but that's a different matter. That's a taste thing rather than a what the planning scheme says thing. But we've moved away from that consolidation approach a little bit, and we're working towards better through-block links. I really am excited about this idea of the double height through Block Link with the skylights coming through. There's a lot of possibility there to design something really, really spectacular here right in the middle of our city, but we're just not quite there yet. But knowing how far this has come and knowing how effective our planners have been in getting so many iterations through so far, I'm sure that can keep happening for a few more weeks and get something even better again, and we can address some of those urban design issues, and particularly those safety, waste and traffic issues along Union Lane, which if we don't get right, have the risk of turning that wonderful space into not only a space that's far less appealing, but that mightn't be safe either, and none of us want to put our names down to that. So I wish everyone involved all the best over the next couple of months.
Thank you, Councillor. But are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any further speakers for the motion? Lord Mayor.
Good. Well, thank you to both of you for your comments and for the submissions this evening. We agree this is a significant and iconic site. It's so important. Eight buildings. We don't often get an opportunity to see something of this scale and importance. There's a lot about the plans that deliver benefits, and they've been highlighted. We want to see projects like this that deliver substantial uplift, and there are many aspects of the current plans that do that. And I also wanted to highlight, obviously, in the mixed use that there's a hotel or two types of hotel components in there, and that sort of accommodation is something that would be a wonderful addition and frankly is needed as we continue to build our visitor economy here in Melbourne. So, as I said, there are a lot of benefits there. There's much to like. But as has been identified by our team, and well done to the team for the detail and the constructive process, that the major issues that have now been identified, I think, in terms of a go-forward position, certainly give a good focus for the ongoing discussions and where hopefully some significant progress can be made to be able to push this project along. I specifically recognise, Larry, your points about the need for an approval at this stage to give confidence to the owners and developers to be able to continue. I think what I'm certainly saying tonight, and others are also saying, is that we recognise the intention of the outcome that you are seeking and acknowledge that. So we are encouraging you and your clients to keep going in this process, and I'm sure that we'll be able to move towards something where we can have support and consensus to the ultimate plans, and that'll be fantastic because we all feel an attachment to this returning to its glory days of the 80s and making a significant contribution, really, to our city. So whilst we might not be getting you and your clients, Larry, to where you want to be in terms of confidence to continue, hopefully you can take the message away that we're certainly encouraging you to continue.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Deputy Lord Mayor.
So Larry's probably getting the idea that this is the nicest objection that he's ever had. but I'm comfortable with where our planning team's got to. And if you look at the previous application, there was 8 pages of conditions. And I think, you know, from what I've gleaned from our team is that we're just not there yet, and probably a couple of critical issues which may have been addressed, and obviously the big focus is on the truck movements in Union Lane, that if those had been addressed to the satisfaction of our planning team, that we might have been looking at a support with conditions. So I think that's sort of how close I'm getting the impression that we are. And our team has been pretty thorough, and if we look at 6.4, there's been some recommendations around how to reduce those truck movements. So if you look at the compactor systems, which the City of Melbourne itself has rolled out, they can reduce truck movements significantly, both for the waste stream but also the recycling stream. And given that we've got the potential for 2 hotel providers in this development, which is massively exciting, that there are so many of our hotel chains now which are doing amazing things in terms of organic waste streams, which is also a huge part of the waste stream for things like the hotel chains that we're talking about. So I think we've landed a good spot here. It is an objection, it's a ministerial decision, but I think the work done by our planning team is absolute quality, and I'd just strongly encourage the applicant, Larry, to just send that message back that I think it's time in this city, where we've ticked over now to 5 million people in Metro Melbourne, that we've got to do things differently with truck movements in the city, and we've got to do things differently with waste management, particularly when we're in one of the densest parts of the retail core. So I think you'll get there, but I think there's a bit more work to be done.
Any other speakers for or against the motion? Okay, in that case, I will put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hands. I declare that carried unanimously. I now call on the Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, to resume the role of Chair of the meeting in relation to the Major Projects and Major Events portfolio. Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. There is one report from management for consideration under the Major Projects and Major Events portfolio. Just while everybody leaves, and welcome. Agenda item 6.5, a new park on Market Street, Collins Arch, 447 Collins Street. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? And in fact, I've already said that I would like one as well. So I'm calling on Professor Rob Adams to provide us with a presentation on this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor and councillors. This project really goes back to a planning scheme amendment back in May of 2016, where there was an approval for a mixed-use development on the site, and there was a provision within that of just short of 500 square metres of parkland. That parkland was to be provided in this area here, and I think at the time we thought that was a pretty unfortunate outcome in terms of the amount of open space. The council then took on the project in terms of looking at Market Street and the amount of asphalt there and whether or not some of that asphalt could be taken back to increase the size of the park. And what you see in the red line there is about 1,400 square metres of roadway that is no longer required for the functioning of that part of the city and therefore could be converted to a park space. This increases the park to about 1,900 square metres and provides the opportunity, and I think the important thing also with that slide, it provides the opportunity not only to, in the future, connect this park down to the Yarra, which is part of a long-term plan that the city's had, but you'll note this slide, which is taken earlier this year, the site is a difficult one in terms of solar access, and therefore, in the design, that is one of the considerations that's been taken into account. There are a number of areas in the site. Obviously, a park in the centre city has a number of demands on it, from places where people want to sit, places where children might want to play as part of the casual use of this park, but also places where you could hold small events, busking, etc., and where you might get a refreshment. So the park is divided up into five areas. On the northern edge, which is the Collins Street frontage, there are lawned areas, and you can see them here. And the reason for that is primarily that'll be the sunniest part of the site. That's where you could most probably maintain grass. And for those of you who remember the small piece of grass in the city square, we were constantly having to change that over because of the wear and tear that you get. So the aim here was to provide as much lawn as possible on the site and to provide it in the site that was the sunniest, to elevate that above the footpath so you didn't get tracking across it and you got the ability to sit on it. Adjacent to that, there is an area in here. There's a water wall that is part of the development, and you can just see it there. There's an area here where that water flows out into the space and will provide an area where children can play in the water in a safe and playful environment. In the centre of the site, opposite this pedestrian crossing, within this development, and I'll show you in the plan shortly, is a raised tiered seating area that changes the level between the centre of the development and the footpath. And that actually provides an ideal mini amphitheatre for an area where you could actually hold events. And so we've got a hard paved area there. There's a site set aside for a small outlet to sell coffee, etc., that will actually activate that space in that area. As we get down to the southern side of the site, what we've tried to do is provide more intimate seating spaces where you can sit under the tree canopy, and there are plantings to actually support that as a passive environment. This gives you an idea of the plan. This area up here was what was set aside in terms of the planning scheme amendment, and this area here is what the council has actually recouped from Market Street. It maintains in Market Street one lane south, which is required to get access to a hotel car park here. And there are two bike lanes and obviously pedestrian footpaths going in both directions. You get some idea of the configuration of the design from that, where you can see the lawns to the north here. There is some lawn here. You get into the Playful Terrace, which is opposite the water feature. And then here, not really obvious from this, but there are these seating tiers and ramps that ramp down from the higher point here to the lower point in front of a plaza where there will be the ability to have a coffee outlet in this location. And then the southern part of the site is treed with seating areas and obviously planting. This gives some idea of the lawned areas along Collins Street and raised above the footpath. And this is further down where you get the more intimate seating and florals. All the materials are high quality bluestone, and the actual cost of the park is 7.5, which is, I think, a lot more than the developer wanted to actually spend on it. Now, the developer is putting in 4.3 million and the city's picking up the balance. So we've managed to negotiate over time, I think, a really high quality park of a reasonable size that will come back to the city. And I think it's only the first step in getting that, as I say, that link from Collins Street down to the river. The street and the site are difficult in terms of the slope. We endeavoured to get two separated bike lanes. We're getting a separated bike lane going from south to north up to Collins Street. You're getting the one lane of traffic, and then you have parking and loading at the footpath edge. And then you've got a cycle lane, which is not separated, coming down. The reason for that not being separated, and we've pushed for this quite strongly, is the stats on downhill slopes shown from places like Latrobe Street, where you've got entrances coming out from car parking, have actually been cause for some accidents. And that's the case that our engineers have looked at. So it would have been nice to achieve a separated lane here, but the advice is this is a better outcome. That's the presentation, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Are there any questions for Professor Rob Adams? Oh, wow, you're popular this evening. We'll start with Councillor Watts.
Thank you. The first image you showed had the public toilet that has been discussed as moving into the building. That, yes.
Yep.
Is that the case, that it's been taken in the building?
The developers certainly offered to take that toilet in. Our past experience is that over time we can actually lose the use of that toilet. If for whatever reason a private developer feels that they would rather lock that up at some time, you then end up with a public space with no toilet. We've looked at moving the toilet. We looked at moving it across the road. There are real difficulties with the site in terms of site and disability access into the toilet. You want to come off a flat area. We have moved it back slightly from the footpath, but that is, in fact, the best area for it. Now, there's no good place to ever put a toilet.
Well, yeah. I must say,
unless you need to go.
It's In the best part of the mini park, isn't it? In the north, with the northern aspect there.
Well, the you could take the contrary view and say, well, the toilet should be down here.
Yes, you could.
But then, you know, it's an area where you've got fewer people. One of the policies the city's had is that we want high surveillance of public toilets for obvious reasons.
And one more question, please. We actually own the entire park, do we, the City of Melbourne?
Yes, it comes back to us and we own the entire park once the development's completed.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Francis Gilling?
I know there's a shortage of coffee shops in Melbourne. Do we really need one where we could have more park there?
Well, what is being suggested is a really small area, and it's not something that would have its own kitchen. It would literally be large enough to serve coffee. The reason for that is that what you want to do is running down here, which actually will make the park seem larger, is the arcade, which is on private property. Once you actually start having seats and tables out there, there's almost this obligation that once you sit down, you have to buy something. Whereas if you put a small kiosk within the park, people can just wander up, sit down, and they're not under an obligation to buy, but they can, in fact, get a cup of coffee without going into the development. It is tiny. It's not even of the size of the Brunetti's in the city square. It's much, much smaller than that.
Thank you. Councillor Francis Gilley. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. How many residents live in Market Street?
I don't know the exact answer to that, but the residential properties are mainly to the south. There is a hotel on this side here, but I'll be honest, I don't know the exact answer to the residents in there.
And have they been consulted?
Basically, the dilemma with this park was, the answer to that is no. The dilemma with this park is it serves so many constituents that there was a lot of consultation done on the road closure and the discontinuance, and people were made aware of that. But to design a park in the central city and to design it for one particular, stakeholder is possibly...
impossible.
It is impossible. Yeah. So what we've tried to do is consider, what are people going to want to use? They're going to want grass, they're going to want quiet areas, they're going to want play, they're going to want maybe some events and places to sit. So it is a dilemma, and we did hit up against this. The same thing happened when we designed the city square. Mm. Who do you ask?
Just one final question, because I do love it, by the way. I've just got the residential hat on. Car parking for those residents, which could be underground or whatever, will they have access to get out in this one lane?
Yeah, the only access required is from the hotel, and okay. That's what enabled us to, in fact, do that road closure.
Well done. I like it.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Rees, then Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Rob, could you just flip to the second last slide, the penultimate slide?
Second last slide?
Yep. That's the one. So the design of Market Street has a traffic lane and a parking lane and two bicycle lanes. If it became apparent in future that the city did not need so much on-street parking in that part of the city, it was a decision made that the parking lane be converted into park. Is the park being designed in such a way that that could be easily done?
I don't think it's that easy, and I'll tell you why. Because, part of the consideration we now have with all our open spaces is hostile vehicle mitigation. So while you wouldn't notice it on that park, it is going to be very difficult to drive a vehicle into that park, because there are quite solid walls. So, yes, you could extend it, but, the change in level and that would be quite difficult. So, as I say, it's not an obvious thing, but, in and amongst here, there's changes in level and that basically, to make it a safe place for people to sit in. The other thing is, while that slide looks as though it's parking, predominantly most of the area along there is loading and you've got businesses.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Councillor Rees, Councillor Leppert, and then Councillor Lelou.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you, Rob. I agree, very exciting. Just while we're on that slide, can you confirm that northbound cycling lane is grade separated from the traffic lane?
It is.
Fantastic. Will these designs, once approved for construction, also require any further planning permission?
No, I don't believe they do require any further planning permission. And in fact, they will be going as part of a tender package, quite soon. So we're on quite a tight timeline in trying to meet the development that's occurring on site so that we actually open at the same time.
Okay, and finally, part two of the recommendation from you is that we authorise the formal process to name the new park to start. But I can only find reference to the park naming at clause 10, which is that a council will consider what the name will be in future. Can you just elaborate a bit more on what you're asking us to authorise in terms of a naming process?
Sure. The naming process is, as you'll be aware, goes through a set process, and you have to follow that procedure. All we, I suppose, are asking this report is that we actually start that procedure, because you're going to have to go through what is usually quite a lengthy procedure, and it's likely that we'll finish the park before the naming actually gets resolved.
But for the sake of the public record, what will the extent of public awareness and input into that process be?
Usually that's quite extensive. I haven't done one myself, but one of our planners might want to advise me on it. It is a fairly extensive process. The one that I have been involved in was down at Library on the Dock, and there was extensive public consultation. There was a call for expressions of interest on the appropriate names, and then there was a selection process from that. I think this will be pretty similar to that.
Is that a question you know the answer to, Councillor Leppett, but you wanted...
No, I wasn't sure.
Oh, OK, thank you. All right. We're moving on to the next question asker. Thank you, Rob. Is Councillor Lelou?
So I note that... So my question's around security and protection of the public realm.
Yep.
I know that Saturday, corner of Market and Collins, there's a massive queue, and there's also, a lot of people around the concrete around that area.
Yep.
And also there's a lot of smoking. In terms of rubbish and everything, can you just define how we're going to protect that and security and everything?
In terms of that corner there, first of all, what's happened is the distance to cross the street has been reduced by about 19 metres. So there's less distance to cross as a pedestrian. You've got no vehicle coming this way because it's one way. And if there was a vehicle coming, you would mostly get a warning of that. Then you've got, as you can see here, a raised edge and a stainless steel toilet, which would actually make it difficult to actually, get into the site on that corner.
Yeah, I meant, Rob, more a lot of the people on Saturday night, they would actually, if this comes on board,
yep.
They would actually be going there to either smoke or even doing something. So do we have any, security or protection or, over there or...?
Well... at this stage, we haven't actually suggested there be any cameras, but there is, reasonable lighting in the park.
Yep.
We are putting new street lights down the full length of that new part of Market Street, so you will get, reasonable illumination of the park. Those are the security measures at the moment.
Thanks, Councillor Lelou. Councillor Watts has one more question, and then we are moving on because we have a submitter to hear from as well.
I'd just like you to tell us about the informational signage that you have in your mind, given this is a very important site. What might we expect around the heritage of this space?
In terms of... Market? At this stage, Councillor, I'll be honest... We haven't looked at how we will represent the heritage of this site, but that's something that I think is a very important story to tell. As you're aware, this is one of a number of market sites in the city. This was the Western Market. And the ability to tell the story on the site is something that we will be actually looking with the private owners. We're also, with the private owners, looking to acknowledge, obviously, their significant contribution to, the cost of procuring this park. So there will be the ability to have information displayed that actually tells you both the history and how this park has come about.
Thank you, Professor Adams. Thanks, councillors, for your questions. I'm now calling on Claire Martin, who requested the opportunity to address the committee this evening. Welcome, Claire. And Claire, you are from Oculus.
I am. So we're the landscape architects for the project. So thank you, Lord Mayor, councillors and members of the public, for the opportunity to address you this evening and to encourage you to support this new urban park for Melbourne. It is a City of Melbourne and City Seabus property initiative, and I think we feel that it seeks to better connect people to each other and to their environment through the provision of much-needed public open space at the at the western end of the CBD. So we feel that it will increase the urban forest tree canopy, it will also increase in-ground permeability and urban biodiversity. And I think as cities around the world are increasingly prioritising people over cars, we feel that the partial redevelopment of Market Street into a park will improve the walkability and the livability of Melbourne, and that we feel it will also better connect the river to the river, to North Bank and the work the City of Melbourne are doing there, and to the Cultural Precinct and the Immigration Museum. So for us, it's really about creating a meeting place, a place to linger longer, and a place that is a refuge from the heat in summer. So we strongly believe that this project, which has been designed in close collaboration with the City of Melbourne, will provide significant public benefit, and that it has the potential to capture the public's imagination, and that we feel that it will make a valuable contribution to Melbourne's public realm, both for future and for current and future workers, residents and visitors. Thank you.
Well within the time, Claire. Thank you. And succinctly put. Thank you. Councillors, are there any questions for Claire? No, Claire, thank you very much for being here this evening. I'm now moving this motion, and I'm calling on a councillor to second the motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Wood, thank you. I'm going to speak to the motion. This is the first new public park we've had in the Hoddle grid since 1980. In 1980, it was the City Square, which doesn't have much green in it at all. It is designed by Oculus. There has been a process run with a steering committee. The steering committee had City of Melbourne and Seabus as well to ensure that we had good coordination in with the private realm. No one was dictating an outcome there. It's great that we've had the expertise of Oculus in managing and designing an outcome here. It is designed to provide five distinct areas for different uses, which I think also reflects the diversity of the community that we can and will be utilising this new park into the future. Those uses include, as has been already stated, play, shade, rest, engagement, slash events, pedestrian flows, of course, north to south, very important as we continue to develop our river area, as well as incorporating the Immigration Museum and other sites back into Collins Street, and of course making sure that we've got good access for pedestrians, not just into our public space, but also being able to access the different public transport options. I note as well the bicycle lanes, which is something that as a city we are trying to encourage more of. Only one of them is separated, but at least one of them is, which certainly goes also to safety and usability, but great to see those bicycle lanes incorporated. I'm noting that we've had a lot of public reaction to this through various media stories as well, and also through the submissions and comments and emails that have been received here at the City of Melbourne. The overwhelming positive feedback comes through those submissions, and for those that did have some suggestions on other ways in which the space can be used or improved, I note that they've all been passed on to Rob Adams and the team as they are finalising and delivering those plans. But ultimately, the feedback was how exciting it is that we are creating new public open space and a new park for the city and in an area that is being revitalised through one of the largest projects there at Collins Arch. That will bring mixed use and, of course, residential to the area. So for all of those reasons, I'm happy to propose. Deputy Lord Mayor, a seconder, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I absolutely agree with you. It's great to see this come to fruition, and good to see Adrian here from Seabus in the audience as well, because I think this has been a really good partnership between the city and also Oculus and Seabus. We're looking at about 474 square metres of public open space within the boundary. And I think what's important to note is that when we had the former development there and the big open space on Collins Street, that most of that was in private hands. So, of course, you know, some of the commentary is around the size of effectively what that open space was, but most of that being in private hands, it's up to the owner of that property to do with that as they wish. So when you consider that the open space requirements have been met for the development, and then you add in to that the sort of 1,380 square metres of public open space contributed by the closure of Market Street, you end up with about 1,850 square metres of new open space right in the heart of the city. And I think Professor Rob Adams answered probably a lot of the submissions and talk on this from the public who are obviously interested in the design of this new open space, which is excellent, that it needs to answer a lot of competing demands in terms of traffic, in terms of seating, in terms of activation, and also integrating with the C-bus development as well. But I think when you add that 850 square metres of open space with the plaza through the development itself, what we're going to get is something pretty significant as it heads down towards the Yarra. So I can't wait for this to occur, and I think it sets us as well up for what Professor Adams was talking about in terms of really opening up the city to the Yarra, which is happening right across the city, and hopefully we can see more of it as a result of developments like this. So very happy to support.
Excellent. Are there any other speakers to this motion this evening? Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm really excited too. Can't wait for our first brand new city park in decades, CBD Park, to be constructed and to be open to the public. There was a bit of commentary around this over the weekend where I think we were re-prosecuting the case from a few years ago when the old Suncorp building was... everyone realised quite immediately that the private open space was private and that government didn't have any direct ability to decree that it was anything other than private space. And back then, council did an admirable job through Rob and others to negotiate the best possible outcome for us. And we've got much more open space here now that's connected and located as best it possibly can be than we otherwise would have, and we must acknowledge that. But we would have liked more, and it would have been good to have the forecourt for the old building still there, or something of that scale directly fronting Collins Street, but that's just not a reality. So once you put that argument aside and some of the commentary over the weekend, I think that what we've got in front of us here really is remarkable. It is still a very large, as far as CBD standards go, park that we're delivering for Melburnians, not just locals, but for the million people who visit the city every single day. And for an ever-growing metropolis, it is a pretty remarkable project. I thank Rob for detailing the information around the safe cycling lanes. There was a bit of quite a few questions to me. I'm not sure about other councillors over the weekend in particular asking why the southbound lane wasn't fully physically separated. I'm glad that we've modelled both a physically separated and a chevron line on this side of the parking to figure out which would be the safer, and I take the advice that the model proposed to us is the safer of the two, and so I am grateful for that advice. And finally, I look forward to the naming process. I wasn't actually sure what that would be. I'm glad it will be similar to the naming process for Bullock Park, because we do need to consult broadly, and I think that these opportunities really are fantastic to generate some excitement around what the park could be. Even though we're settling on a design today, naming is just is a very important part of placemaking as well, especially if we especially how we decide to design that process and cast that net wide and get people excited about their new park here in the middle of Melbourne. So I'm really looking forward to that process as well.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Are there any other councillors that would like to speak to this motion? Councillor Rees.
Just very quickly, I want to add my words of congratulations to all those that have already come, particularly single out Oculus for having done some, I think, absolutely superb design work on this new park. I just wanted to concur with some comments made earlier about the historical significance of this site as the first location for a market in Melbourne. And if that market there on that hill coming up from the Turning Basin where the first settlement of modern Melbourne really occurred. The other market that sprung up in Melbourne not long after was Eastern Market, which is currently on Exhibition Street and Bourke Street. And when you visit the development on Exhibition and Bourke Street, I don't think enough is made of the historical significance of that site. And so I've heard Professor Rob Adams tonight talk about this is still something to be worked through, but I do hope that we do something on this site to recognise the historical significance of it and its importance in the life of early Melbourne. The statues may be gone, but this remains a site of historical importance to early Melbourne town, and we should celebrate it.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. I was the mover and I'm not proposing to reply to any of those. Thank you. So I'm now going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. It is unanimous. So I declare that motion very happily carried. And I can say at this point that this concludes the reports from management to be considered in open session. Thank you to everybody that's been here. There are no items under general business to be considered in open session this evening. And so I'm going to move to item 8 to understand from councillors if there are any items of urgent business for consideration. No. Good. Excused everybody that's leaving. Thank you very much for your participation. Okay, item 9 is public questions. As I said at the start, we do allow 15 minutes at the start of the meeting and again at the end of the meeting for any public questions. So looking to members of the public that are still here with us, is there anybody that would like to ask a question? Thank you, Shane Scanlon. If you could come up to the microphone and ask your question, that'd be great. Thank you.
I've got a couple, if I may. First one was really for Professor Adams, who seems to have left.
Uh-oh. Brad? But,
No, I don't think so.
You don't need him?
It was in relation to his statement about the Copenhagen lanes being unsafe in Latrobe Street, particularly on the downhill run from traffic turning across them, which was the rationale for not separating the lane in Market Street.
Right.
So my question really is, what's to be done about that?
Can we take that question on notice and come back to you, Shane? We did try to grab Professor Adams. Brad went running down the hallway there, but I don't think we were successful. So we'll take that on notice unless somebody else...
Yeah, no? that's cool. No?
Good, thank you.
The other one relates to the joint announcement between yourself and the state around jointly funding to the tune of $50 million each, what I consider to be traffic calming in Western... Oh.
Okay, we will suspend that question, and would you mind just restating to the extent that the Professor Adams is able to provide a response tonight?
Yes, it was to do with the revelation that the Copenhagen lanes in Latrobe Street on the downhill run are actually unsafe because of the crossing traffic, and whether there was any consideration to changing that.
Professor Adams, yes, please.
I think the answer to that is, at this stage, no, there's no reason to change them. But what has become apparent is where you get a lot of crossovers from adjacent properties, the sight lines are reduced by having those right up against the curbside. So the traffic engineers were concerned, you've got a downhill run here, you've got a driveway with cars coming out of, and therefore move it out. But at this stage, no, there's no proposal to actually change Latrobe Street. I think, as a full-time cyclist, a lot depends on cyclists to not go flat out down a lane because it happens to be downhill. because you are unsighted, and you know, you need to take some safety precautions yourself. But the accidents, while increased, are not at the level that actually caused that concern yet.
Thank you, Professor Rob Adams. And your question's noted, Shane. And then your second question, which we didn't quite finish.
Yeah, the second question relates to the joint funding between the council and the state of traffic matters in North and West Melbourne to essentially, you know, obviate the issues with the Westgate Tunnel. Mm-hmm. And my question is on the $50 million that the council put the hand up for. Has that been through the council? Has that been through the proper channels? I was surprised to see that.
Okay, good question. And I'm going to ask the CEO to actually respond to the particular issue around the budget.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and through you, thanks, Shane, for the question. The future capital works budget of the city over the next 5 or 6 years is likely to be some $700 or $800 million at least. And within that context, many of the works that may be relevant in the future of the that area of Melbourne from a traffic mitigation perspective are already things that are being considered within the council's forward capital works program, with no particular decisions as yet about them. So from that perspective, we were confident in advising council that it would be a relatively straightforward matter to make sure that council could meet its matching obligations under the agreement with the state government within existing and likely future capital works budgets.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you,
CEO. Thanks, Shane. Good. Well, are there any other questions from the public during this open session? No? Good. Well, thank you very much. I'm now calling on a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen, which is to close the meeting to the public to consider two items of confidential business. I'm calling on a councillor to second it, which is Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Wood. Is there any opposition to the motion? No. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour? That is unanimous. So I declare the motion carried. Thank you. At this time, I wish to thank all members of the public that have been here, may have already gone, or are still here. Thank you so much for attending this evening. I acknowledge your interest in our agenda, but I am now declaring the open meeting closed. To our team, thank you for being here to answer questions. And that open meeting is closed at, let's actually use a real clock, 7:12 p.m.